No, the Bible says that he will supply all of your needs. The Bible says that he will supply all of your needs. We're in this position, and when you think about some things, what's happening to you and around you is really not affecting you because God has his hands on you. And you can't make it make sense, but somehow in all of his ways, he somehow in his ways make things better for you in the midst of your misery. Bring me the umbrella. Bring me the umbrella. I mean, this is how you know that it's God. This is how you know that it's God, because watch this. It can be raining all around you, and everybody else is getting wet. But what doesn't make sense is I'm in the midst of all of this mess, and I'm still dry. It's because he has given me an umbrella called peace. Watch this. He's so profound in what he's doing in your life that he'll send the Holy Ghost to hold the umbrella for you while you do his will. And when the hell is all around you, you can walk in the rain. You can walk in misery. You can walk in all that stuff, and you still won't get wet. That is the peace of God. He said that he'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Beyond your ability to understand or comprehend him, beyond your comprehension, he'll make it rain and keep you dry in the rain. You gotta stay with me, Holy Ghost. Listen, this is how you know that it's God. Because you're spending time trying to worry about what's going on around you, and God says, be anxious for nothing. Cast your cares upon me, because I care for you. So while you're in your worry mode, while you become anxious, while you're in your anxiety, somebody say strongholds. Strongholds. Everything around you, family members, friends, frenemies, acquaintances, everybody around you got strongholds in their life. But God saw fit to embrace you in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your financial problems. God says, just hold on. I'm gonna hold the umbrella, because you got a breakthrough coming. I'ma send the comforter. I'ma send Holy Ghost to hold and hold it down while you go through what you're going through. Somebody say, I'm coming out. Thank you. Yeah. Ask your neighbor, where's your umbrella? Listen. You see, God, listen. Some of y'all are still, and we're about to go home, I'm serious. Some of you all are still in your position because you're trying to make sense what you cannot comprehend. Man has tried that. Man cannot comprehend what God is doing, nor can he understand what God has done. God is doing some things in your life that does not make sense. Let me say that on this side. You got some things and some challenges, but the biggest challenge you got in your life is to step outside and walk on the will of God. Peter on water. Walk on the will of God, and it doesn't make sense. ain't got the money, but he said, go. I ain't got the partner I desire, but he said, go. I ain't got the clothes or the title, but he said, preach. I ain't got the building, but he said, go. Set it up. I ain't got the car, but he said, go. You trying to figure out how am I going to get there? God says, go. God says, go. All you got to do is start moving. You got to start moving. Listen, listen. I wish I could make you understand. I got a whole manuscript laid up for me to preach, but listen. I'm in a series entitled Strongholds. And strongholds operate in the invisible. Listen, there are things that are behind the scenes that you can't see. In fact, if I told you right now to find God, some of y'all would become dizzy. I don't know. So how is it that a God we cannot see because he's spirit and Jesus is no longer walking the earth, how is it that I can tune in and hear a God that I can't see? How is it that I get to the place that I'm moving and the problem is I can't hear God? You know why? Because all of that stuff that you got worrying about that's all around you got you buried down up under a trap. It's called a stronghold. Stronghold are things that are invisible that create things that are visible and tangible in your life that really shouldn't be. There is a force working behind the scenes that you gotta tap into. And the only way you can tap into it is to tap into something that's greater and bigger behind the scenes that you can't see, called relationship with God. Listen, I gotta go because we gotta go. I told you we're going home. There's so many people in here that are weighted down with what we would call worry. Right? That's what it is today. For Sunday is a stronghold of anxiety. And we've got this thing, and you think it has something to do with your age, but for many of you, your kids are in worry mode. They have this anxiety that holds them back from being all that they should be. And guess what? As parents, we help them because the stronghold that we're in, we say things like, I couldn't, so you can't. We never had it, so why you think you're going to have it? And we deposit negative things inside of the mindset of our kids. Wait a minute, Pastor, but I don't talk to my kids like that. Well, let me beg to differ. You do. Because when your countenance changes and you walk around with those facial expressions and you treat people as if they're nothing because your life feels like nothing, and when you talk to your kids like they're nothing because you operate in your nothing, let me tell you, you imparting to your kids with nonverbals. Okay, let me really close with this. Let me close with this. There's some things that's happening in your life. I know this. I ain't got to have no meeting with you. Just stay standing with me for a minute. There's some things happening in your life that you wrestle with because you can't understand. And the problem with that, especially in the body of Christ, when Jesus was walking the earth, everything that he did didn't make sense to man. You're going to tear it down and build it up in 3 days? That was his homeboys talking to him, called disciples. How you going to do that, Jesus? In fact, the people that were a part of miracles had to do things that didn't make sense. That should be a note for you. Blind man was healed. He did some things that didn't make sense. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to do some things that didn't make sense. Watch this. When Joshua was led by God to walk around the walls for 7 days, it didn't make sense. Joshua, day one, I want you to walk around the wall in silence. Bible says they're walking around the wall Nothing happened. Day two, I want you to walk around twice. They walked around day three. Day three got there. They walked around three times. And then let me tell you something. I'm going to say what you're going to say. You're going to say, God, I've been here 3 days and ain't nothing happened yet. I don't see nothing falling down. I don't see my money getting right. These jokers around here still think I'm crazy and I'm following you. I need to see some action going on. God says, day four, I want you to walk around four times. See, God will give you something outside of what you can comprehend that really doesn't make sense. And while you're sitting here questioning God, God says, all you got to do is do it. Walk. Go get the water so I can make a miracle. Don't try to rationalize why you're going to get the water. You say you ran out of wine and go get the water. 4 days, the Bible says, they marched around the walls in silence. Day five, they did it again. Obviously, there's something that God wants you to have that you should already know that's a part of your destiny if you're doing things outside of what you normally do. See, you got to do something outside of the normalcy of what you normally do. You get up, you eat. Some of you go to work. Some of you come home, you eat again, you go to bed. Every day you do the same routine. Day six, God says, do it again. Don't make a sound. Now, that's 6 days. I'm getting close to the end of my assignment. Watch this. Day six, they march around the walls and nothing happens. He says, on day seven, I want you to march around the wall seven times. And when you get on that last march and that last rope and that last round, I want you to make some noise because something's going to happen because you've been obedient. You followed my commands. You followed my instructions. I'm about to show you a miracle. Bible says they got there, walked around the wall one time, nothing happened. They went around twice. Nothing happened. You know, I got that song in my head. The walls came down, but the people went up, right? And they went around those walls 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But on the seventh time, somebody say seven, they was marching, and a sound came from their belly. The walls came down, and the people went up. And while they was marching around the walls, somebody need to be moving right now because walls are coming down. While they was marching around the walls, out of all the worry, anxiety, no sleep, all this pain, headaches, stress, hair loss, weight loss, weight gain, he says, I'm about to do it. He says, I'm about to do it. Come here with the shofar. Come, run. They was, Pastor, what were they walking around? Come on, walk with me. What were they walking around, Pastor? Number one, they were walking around what they couldn't obtain for themselves. They couldn't do it under their own will. You see, you can't do the miracle without God. The situation won't change without God. Can you imagine what they were striving for was on the other side of the wall? New life, you can't stop walking with me. New life, are you tired yet? See, he represents some of them. They kept walking. My family gonna change. It's on the other side of the wall. My money gonna change. It's on the other side of the wall. My relationship is about to change. It's on the other side of the wall. My success is on the other side of the wall. My success is predicated by my obedience. It's on the other side of the wall. Baby, when they got around there seven times, they begin to make a sound. He said, blow the trumpet of Zion. Wall came down. Walls came down. Give me that song. Blow it again. Yeah. Walls came down. had the shofar. They had all the minstrels to make a sound, because wherever God is, when God get ready to do something, after there's silence, you got to make a sound called praise. If you won't change, make a sound that the enemy can't stand called praise. If you want the walls to come down, you got to make a sound that the enemy don't understand. Now I dare you to start busting around, because you got some personal walls that you need to come down. Move, 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 move.
The wall came down and the people went up. The wall came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. Yeah. Hey! The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. Yeah, yeah, say. The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down
and the people.
Walls came down and the people went up. The walls came down.
Somebody make some noise in this camp. Shout glory. Outside of your comfort zone. That because many of us did that, I see miracles all over this place. I see miracles all over this place. Watch God work. Watch God work. It's your testimony. As we come to a close, I want to pray. We're going to sow and we're going home. Who's on? Brother Oles. We've got to get this out before we go. Did you know that the Bible says to worry, Jesus says it's actually a sin? Your anxiety actually can become sinful. I'm not talking about like missing a meal. I'm talking about something that literally, if you look up worry in the translation, and anxiety means to strangle, to choke. And that stronghold of anxiety is literally choking the life out of you, maybe your spouse, maybe your kids, maybe your extended family members, maybe some friends. It is choking and strangling the life out of you. Jesus says it becomes sinful. Because if you're worrying about the problems that you're supposed to give to God, how can you hear and focus on God? It doesn't work. It's time us to let go of what you've been holding on to. Yeah, Pastor, he is easy. I know it's easier said than done. He said the birds don't think about what they're going to eat. And guess what? They neither sow nor reap. But when God created the bird, he says, I'm going to keep them fed because I'm going to put worms in the ground. And something that's flying so high has to come so low to eat. God will create you to be here, but he'll place you in a place of humility so you can eat. We as a church, as a ministry, as a people of God, we could be like free. The sidebar is, we can't do ministry because we've been up all night because of worry and we should be sleeping. We're losing or gaining weight because we eat or we don't eat enough because of worry. Many of us are sick and stressed out because of worry. Think about it. The enemy deposits and he lets that drug. You see, I'm not talking about the worry that the doctor can prescribe a prescription pill for. I'm not talking about you can just get rid of it with a few drinks. I'm talking about the worry that'll kill you, that will choke you out. And before you know it, you won't have time to tap out. And the worst thing about it is that our kids are trying to tap out and we're so boggled down with worry we don't even see our own kids. Hey, mama, daddy, I'm about to tap out. We're saying, baby, mama about to tap out too. Well, if mama taps out and the babies tap out, then what are we going to do? It's time for the body of Christ to raise up. Watch this. Identify the stronghold. Identify it. I didn't say settle with it. I said identify it. Let me tell you what settling does. To settle says, I'm an alcoholic. I'm always going to be an alcoholic. Watch this. To settle says, I'm a homosexual. I was born like this. That's how I'm going to be. The devil is alive. It says, look, this is who I am. And no, that's who you become. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. You don't hear cows saying I'm a fish because they're in water. No, they cross over in the water to get to the other side. When you get stuck, I need some help. You don't mask it. You don't cover it up. I need some help. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what they think you are. Your life is at stake. And there are people in your life that depend on you. Call your peers, your kids, your church family. Talk to me. There are people that depend on you. So you don't dare cop out by taking your life. You will not cop out by just surrendering like this is who I'm supposed to be. No. That's the devil. That's the devil. God created a masterpiece. He says you're special. You're rare. You're to be known. You are a specimen that he created. And like we say, you are a piece of the master. Start acting like it. Function like it. Operate like it. If there are artifacts and there are things in your life that's not like or a part of the masterpiece, let's get it out. People of God, leaders, everybody, parishioners, if the things in the body of Christ that's not of God, let's not settle. Let's get it or them out. Get them out. Need some help. Don't continue to operate in it. As if everything is good, it'll kill you. It will kill you. And you're saying nobody knows. Nobody knows. Look, God knows. And guess who else knows? The devil knows. The devil knows. There are things that he planted and generational curses that, listen, you haven't tapped into yet. But it is bothering you and it's keeping you from doing the will of God. And guess what? We have to suffer because you won't identify and be transparent that this is me. Did I say that right? I said we have to suffer. Yeah. We depend on you. It's not just about the pastor or the rest of the folks, or it's about everybody, lay members included. We make up the kingdom. Amen. You can clap for that. We all make up the kingdom. Before we sow, grab the hand of your neighbor. Your kids here, it's Family Sunday. Grab your kids. If they're across the sanctuary, in the lobby, in the parking lot, in the bathroom, get them. Get their attention. Get them. After I pray, I want to make sure everybody gets the opportunity to sow. Get the opportunity to sow before you go. So you'll know. Amen. Yeah. Get your kids. Everybody get their kids. Come on. Yep, I know it sounds good, but come on. Yeah, working kids, get the kids. Man, it's a blessing. The most precious thing that you have is that which is around you right now, is your family. Don't have the immediate family members here, the people that's next to you that's holding your hand is... It's the next best thing. We're family here. And I used to shy that concept, and that's the difference between immediate family members making up the church and people coming in making up a family as a church. There's a difference. We're family here. I told my son, I said, son, said, I'm so hard on you because I don't want you to make the same mistake that daddy made. Yeah. He tells me like that. He's hard on me, man. He's hard on me, but guess what? We tell God the same thing. God, you're hard on us. Right? Because he knows what's best for us. Amen. Get close to your family. Come on. I want you to. Close your head and close your eyes and bow your heads. Amen. Daddy make mistakes too. Amen. God, we thank you for family. Thank you because you are the father of us all. God, we understand and realize that you don't make any mistakes. So my existence, our existence is not a mistake. We struggle from where we come from. We struggle because we've been through some things. Some things was not ordained by you, but what was ordained by you, if it is for us to come through that which we are going through, for us to not be a victim but victor. We're to be victors in the kingdom. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for our sons, our daughters. We, as kids, we thank you for our parents. Even though some of us have lacked in many ways, God, you didn't turn your back on us, and we're not going to turn our backs on our kids. And as kids, we're not going to turn our backs on our parents. And we're going to come even closer to glorify you, God, in our own households, in our very own living room, in our very own parking lot, in the vehicle, God. We're going to continue to glorify and magnify you in all that we do. And with family before we get to this beautiful building, and with your chosen people before we get to this place called a church, an edifice, God, we are the church. And so no matter where we go, no matter where we come from, no matter the struggles we've been through, no matter our economic status, no matter our careers, God, you chose us for a time such as this. And we shall carry on. We shall create disciples. We shall duplicate this process, and we shall continue to sow, grow, and produce. And whatever we have to sow today, whatever we have to give, whatever we're going to give, God, let it be blessed beyond the measure. Let it multiply. Let it increase for your kingdom, for my family, for their family. That we begin to look at the root, not the fruit. That we blossom, our kids blossom. That they may have an overflow. Not that their life may be easy, but they also can witness because they've been through some things. And like we have a testimony, they have a testimony. Thank you, God, that they shouldn't wait till they become of a certain age to open their mouth and speak the word. But you said, whosoever will, God, you can use whoever you want to use. So no matter whether they're 2 years old, 12, or 25, or 75, we all can speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, thank you for today. Thank you for unity. And most of all, thank you for shedding the blood for us so that we can remove ourselves from slavery and have a mentality of freeness and walk in our brand newness of the kingdom, so that we can live and see the manifestations of your open heaven. God, we love you. Thank you. Continue to embrace us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hug your family. Hug your family, amen.